Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
This definitely is the show where ideas matter, and we do chat with some of the world's greatest thinkers and minds and people who are doing, as I always like to say, great work to make our world a better place. Good afternoon once again, Jim Masters here. It is 2 p.m. Eastern. At the time of our broadcast, it's Monday, December 11th, 2017. And this is also part three of a continuing series with our special guest, Dr. Madeline Blair, who I've had an opportunity actually to meet in person, which I've mentioned on a previous episode of our broadcast for a TV video interview that we just did together. And it was sensational, and we'll keep you abreast of when that's going to be coming out. But we really got into some really deep, fantastic, thought-provoking conversation, just as we're going to do in a more abbreviated form on this episode. Today we're going to focus, Dr. Madeline and I were just chatting at length prior to the live broadcast kickoff about some topics that we really want to hit upon today, and she really wants to talk and focus on and talk about leadership. Now, don't let that word leadership make you shake in your boots, because you've probably heard that some have said, well, not everybody's a born leader, not everybody can be a leader, you have to be charismatic, you have to be social, you have to be a variety of different things. You're either born as one or you're not. Well, Dr. Madeline Blair, who's a speaker, author, faculty member at Columbia University, senior advisor specializing in the science and art of resilient leadership, is passionate about resilience, passionate about leadership, and passionate about helping people cope with the experiences that change our lives, whether it's grief or loss, illness or trauma, dealing with coworkers, dealing with projects. There's so much coming at us every single moment of our lives. We often react to the circumstances and the uncertainty that comes with them with emotions that sometimes seem out of our control. Resilience is what is needed, and if you don't have it, it's time to develop it. And as an expert, Dr. Blair has discussed with us some samples, some success stories. We'll have a few more in the latter part of today's episode, and really outlined for us sort of a game plan of how, regardless of whatever point or position or status or moment in life you happen to be at right this very, very second that we're talking to you today, there are still wonderful things that you can do. You can transition, transform, accept, change, evolve, and become aware of the incredible gifts that you have within that you might not even realize you have. And if you've survived a lot of different things in life, like we all do, the resilience is there. Through workshops, coaching, and speaking engagements, Dr. Blair teaches her phenomenal four, which is a set of daily practices that enhance resilience. And the last few episodes of our broadcast, all of which you can find on our websites as well as iTunes and Stitcher, you can go back and you can hear in-depth descriptive on those fantastic four perspectives and methodologies that Dr. Blair uses. They really, really are. It's the phenomenal four. And incredibly effective. But let's delve right in, because we have a lot to talk about today. I'm very excited about today's show. Been looking forward to it all week and preparing for it. So we're going to welcome back Dr. Madeline Blair, spotlighting our leadership expert today and continuing our conversation. Dr. Blair, thank you once again for joining us. I know your days are very busy, so we do appreciate you taking moments out of your day to join us and share with us, as you've been doing so beautifully thus far.
Well, Jim, I thank you. I just love listening to your intros. You give me so much groundwork that I can work from.
That's right. We put you to work, and you are definitely up to the task as you are. And We're going to kick it off with leadership and sort of what I said a little bit in that introduction, Dr. Blair, about I've even interviewed people, or I've talked to people who, you know, you hear two different mixed messages sometimes where one will say, well, you know, everybody can be a leader, everybody is a leader, everybody is born a leader, everybody has the potential of, you know, evolving leadership skills and taking on the role of leader. Then you'll get some on another side of the fence who feel, well, no, you're not born a leader. You have to be trained to become a leader, and not everybody is cut out to be a leader. Not everybody has the personality, the resilience. Not everybody has the stamina to be a leader, nor should everybody be a leader. Some should be the supporting cast. They should be off in the background doing other things. How do you feel about that? Because sometimes it can be confusing for people who might want to pursue being a leader and being an effective one, but they just stop in their tracks because they're like, oh, well, maybe I'm not cut out to do this because I'm not born to be one. Tell us about that.
Jim, oftentimes people equate leadership with a charismatic personality. You know, this person speaks well and they're exciting to be with. That's one kind of leader, but there are many styles that are equally effective. They're simply different. Moreover, I feel that every person has areas in their life that they really do lead. Now, what does lead mean? Lead means that you are making decisions. You're setting a vision for yourself to move forward. And that's something that anybody can do and has to do. Now, and let me give you some examples. I think that parenthood is a really important area where you have to recognize and understand that you have and play a leadership role. And if you think that you are not a leader, that really works against you and your child. There's also another aspect to this, which I think is important to think about. There are moments in all of our lives where we make choices. For example, professionals have to learn. They have to constantly be learning, or they can't keep up, or they just can't perform. In fact, today the business is saying that, or the literature is saying that we really have to retool ourselves about every 5 years. Well, that means you've got to be making some decisions about what you're going to learn next and how you're going to do it. What's of interest, and where is your best place to move? So that whole area is a personal leadership area that has to be dealt with. So that's just two examples, parents and professionals. I happen to think that even someone who is, let's say they're a picker in a warehouse, well, people would say, well, there's nothing there. They give them nothing to think about. They give them a piece of paper with a list of things they have to pick, and they go and they get them. But in fact, you can still also lead how you perform that job. Are you going to perform it lackadaisically, like this is so not unimportant, or I don't like doing this? Or you can choose to do it at the best way you can. So again, you're playing a leadership role, which is why I say everybody at some level in their life is leading.
And that's very, very important. So if somebody is listening right now and they, again, have sort of stopped in their tracks, there is the potential to be a leader and be an effective leader. There's all different personality types. There's all different, you know, pieces of the puzzle for people, right? How do you work with them to help facilitate that, Dr. Blair?
Well, of course, my focus is on resilience. But the good news is the Phenomenal Four, in fact, are very effective in many areas. So, for example, if you're working on resilience, believe it or not, even if you are a leader or manager of a group of people and you're trying to help the group to be more resilient, in fact, or yourself, in fact, what's happening is you are going to make them more creative and more innovative. And that's an amazing thing. So that more than one thing, one product comes out of the Phenomenal Four. So that if in working with individuals, I tend not to worry so much about their leadership skills. Yes, I can teach them that, and I have in many cases. But I'm much more interested in helping them be ready to see their own leadership in their own lives and discover how they've done it in the past and how they can build upon that in the future. See, all of us have done leadership roles, and it's when you can tie back and connect with those. I'll give you an example. I taught a two-day executive leadership retreat in Cincinnati for the Chamber of Commerce there. We did it for 9 years running. And we began with individuals who were in leadership positions, and they wanted me to tell them about leadership. Well, of course I could, but in fact what I did was I asked them to tell stories to each other about when they had experienced leadership, whether it was from someone else or it was from themselves, and they suddenly discovered that they already knew what had to be done to be a good leader. So there's an example where you can use your own experience, your own memory, your own story to discover aspects about a topic or about something that you're interested in. Does that help?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. So then let's talk about some more examples of how you define leadership. It's changed greatly in our society, where sometimes when we thought of leaders, we thought of a boss. You don't even really always hear the word boss so much anymore. Leaders these days, or at least ones that are on the forefront of wanting, you know, success within the company, happy employees, increased productivity and growth, I keep seeing and hearing, just from a personal standpoint and just in conversations with people, that the leader today, an effective leader today, is somebody who doesn't just stay, as you and I talked about before we went live on air, up in that ivory tower on the top floor where everything is carpeted and you have, you know, a Keurig coffee machine making beautiful coffee and gourmet cappuccinos every day. It's more of they are in the trenches. They're rolling up the sleeves. They're immersing themselves in the culture and the environment and becoming more hands-on with all the different employees at all the different departmental levels. And when a leader does that, whether it's a CEO, a president, a manager, whatever it could be, there are some wonderful benefits of that for the leader, the company, and for the employee, I would imagine, because the employee feels now invested. They feel valued. They feel appreciated. They feel like whatever suggestions they have or whatever work they're doing, no matter how hard they're working, is being appreciated, and it's contributing to the success and growth of the company, which then in turn helps the employee, you know, as a result in maybe monetary ways or other ways, fulfillment, things of that nature. So leaders seem to be becoming more intertwined and more involved with all the departments, all the levels, as opposed to just staying upstairs at the top of the skyscraper, looking down and checking in just once in a while with a monthly report or something, right? Do you see and sense that change? And would you agree that that is for the benefit of all when a leader acts and appreciates and acts upon it in that way?
Well, Jim, I want to refine a little bit what you're saying. To me, it's not a question of them rolling up their sleeves necessarily and doing the same work as their staff. The key is that they understand that, but they also see and understand the bigger picture and have a vision of where they want to go. So it is a slightly different role, but the key here, and it comes back to your point about motivation, is that they are able to make that vision something that's real to their employees or to their staff, so that the staff themselves can then become leaders of themselves as they take the steps they need to help the organization, the team, whatever it is, to achieve that vision. So there is that aspect. Let's not forget that. The other aspect, I think, that you were talking about, I have to admit, I got a little sidetracked as I was listening to you, and I was thinking about, well, but there's this and that. So I may miss a couple of things, Jim. You'll just have to bring me back if I forget.
Sure.
There's this aspect of of what the leader should be bringing to those conversations. And I'll call them conversations, and that can be a meeting, that can be a, all kinds of ways in which they are interacting with people. The key is that they are understand also not just their staff, but also the outside world, their customers. Because leaders today, and frankly, I think everybody, but I'll stick with the word leader for now, leader has to appreciate what the customer wants as well and can translate that and communicate that to staff and help staff discover that as well. So it's a very broad area, and resilience comes into this, because when you learn to be more resilient, one of the things you do is you're always asking questions. Remember, that's the fourth one of the phenomenal four, to ask a question every day. Be curious. And I think in order to accomplish what I was just talking about, you have to be curious about your customer base. You have to be curious about the world. You have to be curious about what the context in which you're working. Is it, are we moving into a new area? Is our industry diminishing? For example, GE just announced a few days ago that they were letting go of 18,000 people. Why? Because the energy industry is shifting from coal to other sources. Can't remember the term. Whatever it is. But it's things like wind and solar.
That's alternative energy.
Impact. Well, thank you. I knew there was a word for that.
Yeah.
And so that
I brought you back.
Appreciate. You did. So that's an aspect of becoming resilient, more resilient, and being a more effective leader as a result of that. So that was one of the things you asked me about. How do I help people become more leader, more have better leadership capability?
Now, how much does I know you've worked with leaders, particularly when they're in transition. You know, they've just taken on a new role, they're taking on a larger group, whatever that may be, and you work with them during this, what can be an uncomfortable time. I know you've worked with global experts, you know, when they're getting ready to present their latest theories. You help them get ready for that with the simple strategies to help their ideas land. You've also worked with young professionals as well. Tell us a little bit about that for people listening who may be listening who are at different levels of career and experience right now.
Okay.
The difference between working with an experienced, seasoned global expert who's been doing this for a long time and help them transition to then the young professional who's just starting out, maybe right out of school, or maybe they're moving from company A to company B and it's the first time they're doing that. Maybe some of the differences working each category.
Well, let's begin then with that young person. They're usually, when they call me, when they fall in that category, they're somewhere in their mid-20s. They begin to feel like they've got their feet on the ground, they've been working for a while, and they're ready for a promotion, or they're ready for another activity, broadening their base, getting more experience. I actually can remember being that age and wanting to do that kind of thing. Oftentimes, there's something very simple that gets in their way, and it often relates to their personal self-confidence, simply because they are young, and they don't have the huge ground of experience that those of us who've worked for years and years have obtained. And so I help them see what value they already have and build on that. I did this for one individual. She had a small issue, and we talked about that. And she went in, and in this particular case, she wanted a promotion. And it just happened to be evaluation time, and so I worked with her and advised her on how to build herself up to be more resilient in that session. She went in, and she got her promotion. A little bit further along the line, there was a woman who was just incredible. She was probably around 40, felt that she had peaked where she was and knew that she had so much more to give, and she was in this transition time. And you are absolutely right. The word is uncomfortable. whenever we step into a place we've never been before, whenever we step into a topic area that we've never studied before, whenever we step into any situation that's really radically different, we feel uncomfortable. And some people avoid that. Well, that's one strategy. But if you want to get past and through that, you have to figure out how you prepare yourself for that discomfort so that you can work effectively to move on through. And in this particular case, this individual I worked with over about 2 month period of time, we talked about a lot of things and we helped her get a real sense through asking questions and questions and questions what it is that she really wanted to achieve. Not the specifics, but the general things that she wanted to do. She ended up leaving where she was and landed in a vice president position. I mean, that's how the quality of this individual. And she was exactly where she needed to be. So that's another example. A third one might be for an organization that invited me to come in because they frankly didn't know what was wrong. They just needed help, and they knew that they didn't have at that moment the resilience to break through and to keep going. In this particular example, I did some research internal to the organization. I used to do a lot of institutional analysis. I do a little less now, but I do love it. Anyway, I talked to individuals. We did some work sessions together, and I discovered that the area that they lacked for moving forward was the knowledge that they needed, the information that they needed at particular key decision moments. Now, it turns out that when you're looking at people who are resilient, they have some knowledge. I call it deep knowledge. It's an understanding so that if you're in a difficult situation, you may have all the positive attitude, but if you don't know how to step out and step to the next step, it's not helpful, and it takes knowledge to do that. So we ended up revising how they shared their information and their knowledge within their organization. And when I finished briefing the president, she looked at me and she said, "Madeline, you saved our company," which I believe was the case. They're still around. So there's another example of where I thought about what are the qualities that that are resilient people embody, and how do we build those either within the individual or in this last case for a whole company.
You know, I love the examples, and I know we were talking about that. Do you have another example that you can share with us? You know, we're talking about the young professionals and then the global seasoned expert that's been doing this for a long time.
Oh, sure.
When you're dealing with somebody who is a seasoned veteran in a particular line of work, a seasoned mm-hmm. veteran with years of experience and who knows what they're doing and how they're doing it, how is that different? Is it harder for them to acknowledge or accept or be willing to make certain positive transformational and transitional changes because, you know, meaning are they sort of set in their ways? Do you have to approach it totally differently when you're dealing with somebody who is of a certain accomplished level and has been doing something a certain way for many, many years versus the young professional?
Jim, you've gotten to very much the heart of it. And I don't like to use the term set in their ways. They simply have a lot of life experience that has formed within them certain assumptions about what works. And the key is to help them get back and examine those assumptions and discover whether those assumptions still serve them in what they want to do next. And you talked about world experts. I spent about a year with an organization where they wanted to have, this happened to be a group of world experts, quite literally, and they needed to convey their message to others because that's what their purpose was. And when I talked with these individuals, what I found was lacking was that they had certain assumptions about how they were supposed to speak as the world expert and what that meant in relationship to how their audience perceived them. And so I would often press them and get at the really deep reason that they did what they did. oftentimes they would reconnect with their passion, for example. Another time they would connect with their insecurity, their vulnerability. And we would put together, I would suggest a single shift in what they did, a single action that they could do. Because let's face it, when you're speaking to a large audience, you can't think of 17 things in your head, but you can think of one that's different. And in each case, I gave them one different piece that they could think about as they were conveying their messages. They, as a group, they went from being the lowest rated in a particular scale that they used. They ended up that year being at the highest, simply because we had reconnected them with either their vulnerabilities and how to overcome them or their assumptions that had to be broken. It was a very exciting year. I really loved helping individuals be more resilient that way, because they figured out how they were going to do it. All I did was help them understand what the issue really was for them. And then we talked about some possibilities. Did I cover all the bases, Jim?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then some, as you always do. So it just flows right out of you in a succinct, refined way, which I really, really appreciate and applaud. And you break it down, which is really important. And that's what I want to lead to, as we get closer towards the wrap of the show. Some hopeful, positive things that people can do, one of which, of course, is making contact with you. When they make that contact with Dr. Madeline Blair for the advice, for your experience, for the guidance, what happens from there? They either do it through the website, email, phone, whatever it may be. What are the first steps that happen when they connect with you?
Well, if they connect with me, they have to be clear that they really want to talk with me. Some people connect with me on LinkedIn, and I think that's fine, but they don't express a specific desire to communicate with me, and that's fine too. But if they really want to do that, then the first thing I do is set up a time when we really can chat, because for me, the most important thing is, what is it that they want to accomplish? What do they see as their problem? Once we get that clear, then I can say, yes, I can help you. No, I can't help you. And here's another person you can go to. Or we begin the work together. And I like to work with people on specific things. Some people come to me with general things, and that's okay, but I would rather get them down to something specific, because I want them to see success for themselves quickly. And I don't mean instantly, but I do mean in a reasonable amount of time. I've had people who've advised me, which it's taken me 5 years to see the benefits. That's a little too long for most people. You've got to be able to get results before then. So I like to help people that way so that they have confidence, not because I'm trying to be the greatest advisor, but because I want them to have the confidence to be able to move from A to B, even for themselves if they have to. So I work with what your problem is, and we decide what's the best way to work together. Sometimes it's by phone, and sometimes it's face-to-face.
We're speaking with Dr. Madeline Blair, speaker, author, faculty member at Columbia University, and senior advisor specializing in the science and art of resilient leadership. You can contact Dr. Madeline Blair at her website, www.madelineblair.com. Dr. Blair, always a joy speaking with you. Thank you so very much for joining us on the show. You'll be back next week as well, and we look forward to that.
Thank you, Jim. Always a pleasure.
Same here. Enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you for joining us, everybody. I am Jim Masters. Again, our guest, Dr. Madeline Blair. Check out our website, madelineblair.com. For all of us here, Jim Masters, once again, we wish you a terrific day, and thank you for joining us here on CU TV News Radio. Bye for now.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.